This morning, we're going to be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35, reading from the word of the Lord this morning. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Here ends our reading. If you pray with me. God, we come before you this morning, and let us proclaim, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Lord, as we read this invitation and we hear your word calling us and gathering us to you, Lord, may we take the warning that you give to the Pharisees and to Herod, and may we receive this invitation that you call out to your people, to those longing to hear these words. Lord, we just pray that your word would be spoken this morning in your name. Amen. You may be seated. It's nice when it comes my turn to come up, and I could literally come up and give the benediction because of the word that has been proclaimed this morning through coming to the Lord with our prayer requests, the praises, hearing the kids, sharing God's good news for us. But we're not going to skip it this morning because this is a good passage for us this morning. A challenging one. And I want to start with the question, are you a strong-willed person? Yes. I'm looking around the room and we're all in agreement. There are many of us. I can put this a little less politically correct or a little less polite and ask if you are stubborn or pig-headed. Maybe that seems a little more in line with our thinking. Have you ever refused to go to the doctor? Yes. This is not too recent for us. Day 7 of being knocked flat on your back sick and still hemming and hawing if it's a good idea to go to the doctor, knowing you should. Or, like myself, having a messed up knee that hurts for a week after I do something physical, and yet I still don't go. Refusing to ask for school at help. Is that any of you kids?
Yes.
Whether it's just raising your hand to ask about something that didn't make sense, or maybe it's needing a teacher or an aide to help us and tutor us because we just aren't understanding it. Or maybe it's having a problem with somebody at school and needing a teacher or an aide to help intervene because you just can't get it to stop. How about marriage? Refusing to admit that you are wrong or you have made a mistake. This could apply to friendships as well. Or maybe it's the unwillingness, the refusal to seek the help of a counselor. Or just refusing to ask for help in general. The attitude of, "I've got this, I don't need anyone else." To the point where we even refuse to accept help from somebody who has just offered it graciously, knowing full well we could really use that friendship and that help. Are we willing to accept what Jesus has to offer us? In verse 34 of God's word to us this morning, Jesus is calling out to the stubborn and the pig-headed, people just like us often. And he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." These words calling to us today, questioning if we are open to Jesus and the safety, comfort, and protection that is found gathered under his wings. We see Jesus addressing three specific people or groups of people in this reading. the Pharisees, Herod, and Jerusalem, who would be the people of God. The Pharisees, I called them proud. They were the proud oppressors of Jesus, thinking they had everything right, and Jesus was this guy that was threatening everything that they did. Staunch believers and followers of God, and those who would know the scriptures that were in writing, the Old Testament, as the kids talked about the book of Exodus and Leviticus, talking about the party, the structure, the law that was given. These were the people who followed that to a T. They were the ones teaching it, and yet they could not see Jesus in the prophecies that they lived by. Maybe this is where we get the saying, those who can't do, teach. Now, I don't mean to insult anybody, and I don't believe this for one second, and this applies even to myself. So those who instruct and teach, don't take offense to this, but the Pharisees were the teachers of the law and all of the prophecies that told about this Messiah who was to come and to save them. And yet they were the ones who were unable to see and believe him as being revealed right before their eyes. This Jesus who was right in their presence, in their midst, saying that he was the fulfillment of all of these things, and they were the ones who could not see him. These are the Pharisees that are warning Jesus like they are his new besties, when really they were probably just looking out for themselves and the opportunity to drive him out of their own self-serving purposes, capitalizing on this threat that Herod had issued. And then there's Herod. Herod is seen prior to this taking the head of the prophet John the Baptist. And now here he's using the Pharisees as a political move to try and avoid any blowback or repercussions of potentially killing or imprisoning another prophet, Jesus. And as I was reading it this week, I kept thinking about what we looked at last week, the temptation of Jesus in the desert and this interaction that he had with the devil. And Jesus was considerably more cordial to Satan than he was here to Herod. Yet he still remained firm. With Herod, he goes straight for the throat. There's no sugarcoating it. And he says, go tell that fox. And now when we think of a fox, we think of this cute little small dog-shaped, little red-coated animal that just bounds through the fields and the ditches and crosses the roads. And we often think if we call somebody a fox, we're meaning that they're sly, conniving, maybe a little bit manipulative, don't we? There's the other, more contemporary translation of fox, where it's we are finding somebody attractive or pleasing to the eye. And I don't think that's what Jesus is saying here to Herod today. I don't think you're looking pretty foxy there in your robe. No, I think he's referring to the previous, and he's talking in this context, in the time that these words were said, fox had an even more derogatory meaning. This would have been understood as Jesus was calling Herod a fox, not just saying he was sly and conniving because he's trying to use the Pharisees to do his dirty work. As Jesus is calling Herod a fox, he's calling him insignificant or even worthless. A fox. And just like Satan's temptations couldn't push him from the path that the Father had sent him down, there was no way Herod's warning was going to keep Jesus from doing the will of the Father. Herod was insignificant. And Jesus says flat out, I'm going to keep kicking butt and taking names. It is the will of the Father. I'm going to be casting out demons. I'm going to be healing, and I'm going to be proclaiming the kingdom of God until I am brought to the cross and complete what it is that the Father has sent me to do. Now, in this Easter season, I want to look a little bit ahead at the next interaction that Jesus has with Herod, and we can see this further contempt in Luke 23:8, as he appears before him being accused of all of these things by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says nothing. Again, showing his contempt. It says, when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him. And he was hoping to see some sign done by him. To Herod, Jesus was nothing but a parlor trick, a magician, somebody who could do great things and entertain him. He questioned him at length, and Jesus made no answer. Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees and Herod, we see a broken relationship. An unwillingness to receive Jesus. And there is a coldness that is found in their rejection. Hopelessness. Even though Jesus had proclaimed to even them the truth. But then we see a much more intimate relationship in the wording and imagery that is given in Jesus' words here. Herod, the fox, and Jerusalem. The children he has tried to gather together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. How many of you have seen The Fox and the Hound? A good classic movie, right? It's a movie about a puppy hound dog that is being trained by an older, we could probably say incompetent or inept hound dog, to protect the chickens on the farm. And if you've seen it, you know it, but he's protecting them from the fox. Now, the movie, the hound dog befriends the fox, but this is not the normal relationship that is seen. And whether we have chickens or not, we understand and are familiar with the idea that a fox is a predator that sneaks into a chicken coop or a hen house and eats the chicken. Herod is the fox, and Jesus says that he is the hen looking to gather his children under his wing. Now, this is not the image of the hen in the petting zoo aggressively chasing the little child that has come into their space. This is the image of the gathering of the chicks under the wing is a protective yet self-sacrificing position. Whether the hen is protecting the chicks from rain or inclement weather, she leaves herself exposed to the elements. In the event of a fox, this is a position of protection and self-sacrifice as she gathers the chicks under her wings, as we see in this picture here, leaving herself exposed to the attacks of the fox while trying desperately to protect her chicks. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, why have you been so stubborn? I have called out to gather you to myself, to protect you from all these things, to gather you to the Father, yet you do not hear. Jerusalem was supposed to be a place of peace. The literal Hebrew translation means foundation of peace. As we read through the scriptures, we see the rule of David in Jerusalem. It was the capital of Judah. It was the city of Solomon's temple. God's name and presence was in Jerusalem, and it was special and holy. But it became a place where the people of God rejected his message and killed his messengers, those before him and Jesus himself. Sam read from Jeremiah, our scripture reading this morning, and Jeremiah was being threatened for the message that he was bringing. Now, we often hear and refer to the prophets as fire and brimstone. Because of your actions, God has judged you. and found you guilty and is now going to destroy you. This is truth. God holds us accountable for our actions, and He is a just God. Meaning that there must be a punishment for our wrongdoings. We must be held accountable for sin and rejection of Him. But this isn't His intention. This isn't His desire. Every prophet that has been sent to speak against the actions and the evil that the people are doing is so that they may realize that what they are doing is wrong. They may realize their own selfishness, that they have been distracted by what everyone else is doing, by the world around them, that they have turned away from God and His commands. The goal of the prophets, Jesus gathering His people together, is that they would ask forgiveness and turn back to God, repent, making a 180-degree course correction. Jesus came to gather Jerusalem together, to call them to repentance. He has come to gather us together and call us to repentance, to forgive, to unite, and to protect. The Psalms are filled with this rich imagery. Psalm 57:1 stands out, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by." Jesus, place us in the refuge, the safety of the shadow of your wings. But Jerusalem was unwilling to hear the call, to be gathered in this protection that is not earned but offered. Because of their refusal of the help being offered, their stubbornness, they were dragged off by the fox. It says their houses desolate. There was nothing left. Emptiness, destruction, abandonment. I have longed to gather your children together. Church, may we hear these words today, gathered in this place. Jesus saying, I have not abandoned you. I have not forsaken you. I have not left you in the midst of the cancer diagnosis. I have not left you in the wake of natural disaster. I have not left you in the deafening ringing after yet another senseless massacre. Jesus is calling to the stubborn and the pig-headed. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He is calling to us today as this season of Lent, as we're preparing and looking to the cross. See the cross as Jesus, this mother hen stretching her arms out, the wings out, the shadow of the cross being cast on us, gathering us together at the foot of the cross. In this protection, in the self-serving, self-giving sacrifice that He gives us. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, He is calling us today. Will you receive Him and take what He has offered us through the outstretching of His arms on the cross, the shadow of His wings? Safety, comfort, protection, forgiveness, restoration that is only found when we are gathered under His wings. This message this morning that He has done everything. All that is left to do, all we need to do is believe and be willing to be gathered under His wings. Praise God. Lord, we come before You this morning. humbled that, yes, we are this stubborn and pig-headed people at times. God, help us to see that you are inviting us to be gathered under the protection of your wings. God, that we do not have to try and go this alone, that we can't go this alone, Lord. As we look to the cross and we see the shadow from the lights that hit it, Lord, as we look towards the Easter season, the proclamation of your Son, the Messiah, that has come to sacrifice himself for us. May we be comforted by this. May our hope be restored and renewed in the protection that you are offering us, in the forgiveness of our sins that you are giving us. Lord, may we be strengthened by this. Lord, may we bring this same hope to those that are hopeless and lost, that are outside of the shadow of your wings, Lord, this morning. God, may we put aside our stubbornness and receive you. May we stop refusing what it is that you do for us, the identity that you give us, and the way that you seek to gather us back to the Father this morning, Lord. We thank you and praise you in your mighty name. Amen. To invite you to stand